Hello friends, Jonathan here, and today we jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When I preach at church, I love to talk to people after. I like to interact and hear how people apply the teaching to their personal lives. Unfortunately, I also can't get puffed up with pride when I talk to people after preaching. I begin to judge my message not by its faithfulness to the word, but by what people are saying about it. It's a dangerous path to walk. But what does Paul have to say about this? Verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Paul could have demanded that the Corinthians respected him as a spiritual father, a prophet, or a leader, but instead he tells the Corinthians that he and Apollos, two of the celebrities the church was fighting over, were nothing more than servants of Christ. And the word Paul uses for servant here speaks of one that asks no question. This servant does what is required of him and reports directly and only to his master. Paul was not worried about what the Corinthian church thought of him. He looked only to God. Verse 3, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. You can't judge me, and only God can judge me, are thrown around more than empty political promises in an election year. But is that what Paul was saying? Did Paul really have no regard for what others thought about him? We know that Paul can't mean that we don't have to care about anything about what other people think about us. Romans 15 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. So, what does Paul mean? Paul was a servant of God. His goal wasn't to please man, but rather his master. It was to Jesus Christ that Paul would have to give an account, not the other servants. But part of what Jesus commanded Paul, and us, is to have regard for others, especially those who are weaker in the faith than we are. We should ensure that we are held in high regard by others, not to receive their glory and honor, so that Christ might receive glory and honor. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. When Jesus comes and judges our actions, it'll be according to the motive of our hearts. We can do all the right things, preach the gospel, feed the hungry, care for the orphan and the widow, tithe, go to church, but do them for the wrong reason. God will reveal our motives. Are we doing these things simply to be seen by men, or because God asks it? Verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. If we're honest, we'll admit we judge each other all the time, often for things that are not biblically based. We judge the success of some ministries as sellouts. We fight with other denominations, spending untold resources writing blogs and creating YouTube videos to point out all the problems with the other believers. Do you see how ridiculous this is? It'd be like the army shooting at Air Force planes because pilots fight differently than soldiers. We're on the same team. We should be supporting each other in the fight against the enemy. Paul continues, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? When I share my life story, I talk about who I was before becoming a believer and who I am now. And guess what the difference is? It's Christ. It's all about what God has done for me. And if it has all come from God, what do I have that I can boast about? There's nothing good in me except what I have received from God. And in that, I can glory. Now, as we move on, this next passage makes me wonder if Paul was actually an American, because he lays the sarcasm on pretty thick. Verse 8, already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. You've begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign, so that we also might reign with you. You have it all, Paul says. Isn't that funny that we apostles have nothing? Paul's trying to shake the church out of its proud thinking. Verse 9, For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We're in rags. We're brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of this world, right up to this moment. Instead of being full, rich royals, the apostles were on display as a spectacle to the world. When the Romans won a military victory, the general often returned with a lavish display. They'd lead a procession through the streets, followed by their victorious troops and all the loot that they captured. And at the end of the parade would come the captured enemy soldiers, brought back to be used in the gladiator games. Paul compares himself and the other apostles to these gladiators, scorned and publicly humiliated, the very opposite of the Corinthian pride. As Paul describes his ministry, he focuses on humility and lack, which the Corinthians avoided at all costs. For the Greeks in Corinth, hard work was for slaves. If attacked or ridiculed, you had to fight back or be seen as weak. But too often today, we want to display our worldly success and power. I often find it hard to reconcile Paul and my own life. But his resume included being arrested, beaten, driven out of town, stoned to death, shipwrecks, snake bites, assassination plots, and more. And me? I throw a pity party for myself if I don't hear enough attaboys after teaching a message. Listen, we fall into a trap when we want the popularity, the reputation, and the comfort that the world offers, while still enjoying the anointing of God. We want the power of the Lord, but are unwilling to pay the cost. But Paul calls us to something more. Verse 16. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Simple? Yes. Difficult? Also yes. But this is where we find the power to do what God has called us to do. That's it for today, friends. Join us tomorrow as we jump into chapter 5 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.